Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the Firm Foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
Today, the topic we'll take up today is part three of the series, Stand. And this will be entitled, Renewed Mind Equals Renewed Life. Say, a renewed mind equals a renewed life. Going into our core scripture in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Second time he said that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand therefore. Say, Lord, thank you. I have stood and I will stand. Stand therefore, right? All right, today's text is Romans chapter 12. Get right into this. New King James, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's hear this verse also from the New Living Translation, which reads, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Hence, that's the topic for Wednesday. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Amen. Renewal is a beautiful word. Renewal is a beautiful word. Reminds me of springtime. Amen. You come out of winter, things appear dead and dormant. And then when spring comes, there's all this explosion of colors and fragrances, and things begin to grow and excitement abounds. And so that's what renewal says to me. It's a beautiful word, y'all. Renewal and renew is a beautiful word. And I want us to embrace it. I want us to recognize that there's a provision and a promise from God that he wants to strengthen and renew you and bring you to a higher place in life. Sometimes we feel like things have died and things have gone dormant. You know, things aren't working. It seems like, look like winter, feel like winter in our lives sometime. But as surely as there is winter, there's going to be spring. Amen. And furthermore, we are still living in resurrection life. Amen. Easter is all a month old now, but resurrection power is still here. Amen. Don't forget that. Yes. So we are living in the provisions of God's grace and God's power provided by Christ. Now, the Bible says this, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Say, I will present my body as a living sacrifice. Why did Paul say that? See, it's interesting, when you study the Bible and do what's called exegesis, or really get into the text and look behind the words, you'll see, you learn some things. For example, in Paul's day, Paul's culture had this domination of Greek mindsets. And part of the Greek mindset was that what mattered was spirit. That body was only a prison house. And that the body was to be despised and be ashamed of. And so they didn't emphasize the physical. It was all about the spirit. And so that Paul came back and said, no, actually it is your body and your spirit, which belong to God. That's why he said, present your bodies. He was speaking against the culture that tried to say, ain't about your body. It's just about your mind, just about your spirit. The God is saying it's your spirit, your soul, and your body. Because obviously we said earlier, if your body is not in the right position, you can't serve God. You know, look at all the things that God said do with your body. He said pray. That's bodily. Fast. That's bodily. Serve others. That's through your body. So there's no living for Christ. There's no fruitful service without your body. So present your bodies as a living sacrifice. The body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, the instrument through which the Holy Spirit works. So we focus on health and wellness, because if the body is sick, if the body is not in a position to function, you can't do a whole lot for serving God. Thank you. You can always pray, but you know what I'm saying? You can't go places, do things if your body is not in a position where you can do so. So present your body as a living sacrifice. We don't worship anything, including body, but we understand that from the Word of God perspective, the body is important. So true worship, watch this, true worship and renewal is offering to God of your body and all that one does with your body every day. Offer to God your body and all the stuff your body does. And make you think about what your body's doing. Amen. I make you think about where should my body be? I told y'all a story. I got in the car with a guy. My body in a car with a guy driving, going somewhere. I wouldn't say if he wasn't saved. Yeah, I wouldn't say, but he was unsaved and demonic, okay? And we going to the club. He driving fast and turning corner, the car is a Camaro, and he's going crazy in his car, and he get out the car, we go in the club, and this guy start doing karate kicks in car. He kicking dents in people's cars while we walking. Now, I was crazy, but I wasn't stupid. So, point is, your body, you get your body with the wrong bodies, you wind up being caught up in a car with somebody, going somewhere to do something crazy. So present your bodies as a living sacrifice, and all that you do with your body, it all is presented to God. So real worship, watch this, real worship is not only singing songs in church. Real worship is offering of our everyday life to God. Amen. Spirit, soul, body. Got that? Amen. And your mind is in your body. That's your brain. The physical part of your mind is in your body. So all this goes, it all works together, y'all. So when Paul says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, when he says we should, when New Living Translation then comes and says that we don't want to copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. So we're about changing some thinking today. Amen. Amen. Isn't it good thoughts can change? Amen. I called a friend one time and I was trying to complain. He said, Brian, change your mind. Okay. come on now. People listen to us and want to complain, and he said, hey, oh, change your mind. Time out. Change your mind. So Lord, help me. Change my mind. Change the way I think. I can do it. Yes, you can do it. Then he said this, do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed. The Greek word there is schema. Schema is the changeable aspect of our lives, that which is continually altered one way or another. See, when Paul said, don't be conformed to this world, He said it because we're all being conformed. He said, don't be conformed to the world. We're being conformed, but don't be conformed to the world. And that word schema is an interesting word. In fact, let me dive a little deeper into this. In fact, this word, for example, a person's schema at 17 years old is different than at 30 years old or 40 years old. That is, how you live your life, what you conform to, what you're doing, it changes, right, from childhood to adulthood. You get that? And so what he's teaching us and saying here, we're being continually altered. But don't try to match your life to all the fashions of the world. You're being, the schema is changing, y'all. You're being conformed. Next slide. I'll just summarize it here. Don't try to match your life to all the fashions of this world. Don't be like a chameleon, which takes its color from its surroundings. It's an amazing creature. You're aware of this, aren't you? These are creatures that change the, they change the color. Some fish do it too, other creatures do it. But they'll change the color to become like the environment. Now, it's for camouflage, it's for safety, it's to survive for them. But Paul's using that word schema to try to persuade us, first, well, just show us and tell us that we're all being conformed. It's a matter of, to what are you conforming? So he says, do not try to match your life to the things of the world. Now, it's, you know, we understand fashion. We understand, you know, trends. And I'm not saying you can't be fashionable, you know. Because if you're not fashionable, if you dress real bad, folk will forget what you say before you say it. If you look real bad, like, I don't know what you're fixing to say, but I ain't paying attention, you know what I'm saying? So there's something to say about dressing appropriately. Amen, somebody. But to try to just look like people or look like the environment, that is beneath you. Amen. It's beneath you to conform, to have the schema of the world when you have the DNA and imago Dei of Jesus in you. Amen. Amen, somebody. Amen. So, yeah, you have the privilege of choosing to follow Christ and developing a schema of Christ and your own style, your own flavor, your own way of going forth. Amen, somebody? It's good, isn't it, to be true to yourself. Then he said this, be transformed, metamorpho is the Greek word, by the renewing of your mind. Metamorpho looks like what word we use today? Metamorphosis. It means to change into another form or to transform. So whereas the chameleon has an outward change, the metamorphosis is a substantial change. Now, we don't change, we're the same person, but we are, our character is changing. We're becoming better versions of ourselves. Now, here's the next slide. We know this in nature. Great parable. Caterpillar on the left, butterfly on the right. And if you didn't know what was going on, you think those are two different creatures altogether. It's the same creature. It's the same insect transformed. And that's the word Paul used. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our New Living says, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. These are powerful parables in nature. Something to think about. You can just study up on the process. I won't get into it now. I got some things written here, but it's not time to read it. And the process of the caterpillar becoming, well, it's a larvae, really. It's a larvae. But the process of becoming a butterfly, you can, there's all kind of messages in there. There's all kind of insights for your life when you understand that process and how, I don't want to get into it. It's just so much in there. I'll move on, all right? Now, so watch this. A renewed mind produces a renewed life. Say it again. A renewed mind produces a renewed life. What seems right to the unrenewed mind usually is not. We've been there before we came to Christ or in Christ, before our mind got renewed. We'd have a thought. I think this. I feel like that. And you found out it was dead wrong. It wasn't like a little bit wrong. It was like all the way wrong. Came out of your mind. And Proverbs 4 says this. This is strong, y'all. Proverbs 14:12 says this. There is a way that seems right to a man, to a person, but in the end, it leads to death. That's pretty straight up, isn't it? Amen. That's a proverb, y'all. A proverb is the way it is. It's a maxim. Yeah. And so that's why you don't want to go around, you know, giving folk a piece of your unrenewed mind. So nobody needs it. Nobody needs that. You don't need it. Because what seems right to the unrenewed mind usually is not right. All right, you get a four-step process for renewing the mind. It's more, you know, these steps, it's always more than one, two, three, four, but it just helps you get your mind around the process, all right? I just say four steps. Process, I'm gonna give you four words. I'm gonna give you implantation, I'm gonna give you formation, sanctification, and demonstration. Let's start with the first word, implantation. James chapter 1, verse 21 says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Straight talk from James. Amen. Folks say, Lord, deliver me. God is saying, put it down. Yeah. Hear what I said? We say, God, deliver me. And God is saying, put it down. Yeah. Put it off. Put it down. Walk away from it. Run away from it. Yeah. Get rid of it. Yeah. Don't ever get caught waiting on God to do something you're supposed to do. Amen. That happens a lot. Yeah. God, I need deliverance in my finances. God's saying, get out of debt. Stop using credit cards to buy meals and clothes and shoes and stuff that you got to, you pay for that meal for 6 years. Or at least every month, pay the whole thing off. You know what I'm saying? Get those points. I understand that too, that game. But so lay aside. He's talking to Christians now. Lay aside filthiness. Oh, yeah, we can be filthy sometime. Yeah, you say amen to that. Don't say amen. Don't say amen to that. I get it. I get that. But lay it aside anyway. You ain't got to say it. Just lay it aside, okay? Overflow of wickedness. Wow. You're talking to believers now. Because, see, a sinner won't get better by laying sin aside. He's still got sinners in him. He can't just lay stuff aside. He got to get changed, transformed in his heart, born again. But receive with meekness, watch this, the implanted word, say the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. This word implanted, the Greek word is emphytos. It means, watch this, inborn, implanted by nature, implanted by others, instruction, a word whose property it is to root itself like a seed in the heart. Wow. So I'll say this, implantation doesn't come from just hearing a sermon. Uh-huh. This right here, this is not implantation here. This is the message. If you go take this message and go home and study it, right? Read the scripture, go back over your notes, watch the podcast, whatever. You take some time, then this word becomes like a seed that'll root itself in you. Amen. Now, obviously, I'm not saying this is fruitless, but what's fruitless is people hearing and not doing. Amen. I mean, James even said, you deceive yourself. if you hear and don't do. So it's the doing of the word, that's the implantation. The word's implanted in you when you do it. Study it, pray on it, apply it to your life. Amen. Glory to God. It's inborn. Love this. So receive the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Now, not save like born again. You don't become born again. What you do is you're saving aspects of your life. You're already born again, saved, but you're helping, God's helping you deal with areas of your life. Amen. Recovery, renewal, victory, all that, deliverance, all that is happening when you allow the word to be implanted in you. I think about this, a person who is a good cook, like my wife's a great cook. I'll tell you what, she became a great cook. Amen, amen. We started out, you know, and we survived, amen. But the amazing thing is, a lot of people today, I mean, listen, y'all, now brothers, let me tell you something. In premarital counseling, this comes up all the time. Dude, like, she got to cook for me. Bible don't say she got to cook for you. Bible don't say you got to cook or clean for you. You better agree on stuff before you get married. Come to agreement. You can't come in. We need counseling, Pastor. Why? Because she's not cooking for me. I'm sending you out the door. Go right back out there because the Bible don't say she got to cook for you. But thank God when your wife can burn, woo, it's a blessing. Amen, wife. She can burn now. She can burn for a long time. Here's the point I'm making, though. When a person is good at cooking, there's more than a recipe in the mind. See, there's an implantation where they have prepared that dish. They've worked that. They know when it's right, what it should look like, what it should taste like. See, I mean, another example is, you know, you could hear somebody, a person could talk to you about swimming. But if they can't swim, they can't really help you. I told you my mentor, Earl Johnson, in college became a swim coach and he couldn't swim. That's how smart he was. He was smooth like that. You know what I'm saying? Became a swim coach and he couldn't swim. He knew enough about it to tell y'all, do this, do that. No, it's the wrong way. Do it this way. Show me, coach, I got a bad leg right now. Pull a muscle last week. You know. But listen, y'all, implantation looks like what we're talking about here. It's not just words. It's not just something you hear. It's something you do. It's something you practice. And you're good at it because you practice it. And you've done it for a long time. So again, we don't say God delivered me. We say God is saying put that down and pick up this instead. Amen, somebody? Amen. All right, let's go on here. Step two, process for renewing the mind. Formation, say formation. The Apostle Paul wrote this in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. Oh, my dear children, I feel as if I'm going through labor pains for you again. And they will continue until Christ is fully developed in your lives. The Paul using the analogy of a mother giving birth. We are aware of it. We have experienced it as guys. But obviously we've seen it. And it's a thing, y'all. Given, you know, moms know. I mean, you know, my wife had four children, and Miss Corey, Tamika working on one right now. Tamika and Corey working on one right now. And we just stand back and pray and watch and encourage, hold the hand because they're going through. But Paul is saying that that's what it's like for Christ to be formed in you. You don't just kind of casually go into a deeper life in Christ. You don't just kind of stumble into this. You have to really want it and be willing to go through the pain and the agony, if you will, and the effort and the labor, not just to for it to be produced, but those of us who are ministers have to work, labor with people to help Christ be formed in them. It's a chore. It's more than a Sunday sermon. We need to get with people, work with people, and help them walk through this life, help them overcome and gain victory in their lives. You believe that? So let the character of Christ be formed within you through fellowship with Him, trained by God-sent leaders, and growing through the trials and tests of life. That's how we're having Christ formed. Number three, third step for the process of renewing the mind is sanctification. The word sounds deep, but it's not deep. It's very simple. But in Acts chapter 26, verse 17, we read this. Paul wrote, God said, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, talking to Paul, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. This is Paul conveying his calling, or God telling Paul what his calling is, right? And so Paul began to follow that, but the last part he said there, I'm going to give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. What does that mean? Well, just look at that word, sanctified. It really means, the word sanctified means to separate from profane things and dedicate to God. Say, sanctified means separate from profane things and dedicate to God. Now, profane, word profanity come from profane, right? So profane things like profanity, not just the words, but the deeds, okay? So we consecrate to God, we dedicate to God, we purify, we cleanse externally and purify internally by renewing of the soul. It is to hallow or be holy. Amen. So some of us here, I'm wearing my sanctified sport coat. It's sanctified to, you know, coming to church or going to a business, it's a business casual situation. I don't wear this to go out to cut the grass when I used to cut grass. I don't wear this to paint. I still paint stuff. I don't wear this, you know, everywhere. I don't shop in this. I don't work on my car. So point is, just sanctify. Don't make sanctify into a spiritual term. See it for what it is. It means to separate and dedicate to God. Thing about your life is, I got different sport coats, I got different shirts, different shoes, different things, but I only have one life. Amen. You can't put on the life, you know, I got the party hat, got the party life on now. Uh-huh. I got the church life on today, you know. I've been there, y'all. Party on Saturday, church on Sunday. Y'all know about that. You should not know about that. Especially now, amen. But, you know, we've been there. We grow through things like that. We have to understand what, because see, sanctification is a process. Amen. You've been sanctified, you're being sanctified, and you shall be sanctified. Amen. And it's a tremendous growth, a growth lesson in life where you actually are self-aware. It's wonderful. You are aware of what you need to dedicate. I mean, people just can't tell you everything. Come on, somebody. You have to decide you want some things. You have to decide for some things. I want this for myself. You know, like I always tell you, Pastor Bumpus, give an altar call and say, if you want Christ in your life and you're serious about it, come down here. If you're not serious, don't waste my time. Don't waste God's time. See, faith is in seriousness and earnestness. You got that. So that's the third step is sanctification. So we said first was what? First step, implantation. Second, formation. Third, all right, finish up here. Fourth is demonstration. And we're back to our text in Romans 12, verse 2. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, when God completes his, or is doing his work in us and unto completion, toward completion, The outcome is you can prove things. You can see things. You can define things for yourself. You can make decisions now. You can discern between the good, the acceptable, and the perfect. The good, the better, and the best. Amen, somebody? You get to a point where, watch this, you stop letting good be the enemy of best. Amen. You stop settling for less. Amen, somebody? Amen. There was a time when our kids were in school and they bring a grade, I bring an assignment home and a grade on it. Younger kids and my wife look at it like, they gave you an A for that? March up there. Not march, you know, it sounds go up there, okay? And just basically say, we don't want you grading our children based on what you think they may feel if the grade is lower. You know, I mean, she didn't say all that. I'm saying there's a sense that we don't want the child to feel bad. So we give them a higher grade or we kind of grade in the curve. And I don't know about y'all, but I don't believe in that. Maybe y'all do. I'm like, this is what it is. I mean, even if the kid's playing sports, you know, I remember watching kids play one day, and everybody's a winner, you know what I'm saying? Everybody won, you know. Everybody can't win now. Somebody's going to lose here. I mean, there's lessons learned in winning and losing. So this thing where when you understand what being transformed and conformed does, and when renewal brings a renewed life, you can take a real assessment of things. Now, that's good, that's better, and that's best. I now see the difference. Amen, somebody? 30 years ago, young pastor, I had a guest speaker come in, and I was up before him, and I had something on. I didn't care what it looked like back then, and I had on, I think I had on the bad part was I had on this belt. I had this fabric belt on with dress slacks, with black dress slacks and brown shoes. Now, that may mean nothing to y'all today, but back then you can't wear no fabric belt for jeans, woven belt, woven fabric, frayed at the end, by the way, and black slacks and brown shoes. And he said, I got to talk to you, Pastor, you know. Now, you know, back then we were very formal, more formal back then, but still, his point was well taken. He said, now, I said, look, man, I don't care about that. That don't mean nothing. He said, well, it does mean something. So he took me to the men's store. And he put me in a suit and got me in the mirror. I said, I like that. I actually like that better. You know what I'm saying? Now, again, that's just my example back then, but he had to help me discern good, better, best. Because sometimes in life it matters, y'all. I mean, if you're working for people or you supervise people, you know, it's hard to get people to see now that you can do better than that. People love to settle. And some of us do not settle at anything because it's not in our nature anymore. We used to settle. Now we don't settle. Now we haven't become to the point of being obsessed and unkind. But if you are called to help people renew their mind, and if they're receptive to you, help them renew their mind. Let them know what they should know. Not just about dress and things, but about the whole life. Amen, somebody? So then the demonstration is this. Watch this. So in summary, we find ourselves serving others, sharing the gospel, and proving what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Give God some praise. Be blessed today. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we are renewed in our minds. And our renewal in the mind is bringing forth a renewed life. Lord, thank you that we're standing and having it all done all to stand. We're learning more of what to do, what therefore is, therefore, giving us the keys and tools and insights for standing. Thank you, Lord God, now as we enter into this season, Lord, of serving, and we've gathered to worship. Now we leave to serve. Help us, Father God, to be mindful of your grace, of your goodness, of your power that's present to help us grow and become all you have called us to become. And we thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. This booklet really is, it's a book, this is 53 pages, so it's a booklet really. It's Winning the Battle for Your Mind, a Biblical Approach to Renewing Your Mind. This book was not new. It came out 14 years ago, but I've gone back through it, rewritten parts of it, and have re-released it. And I believe it'll be a blessing to you. Chapters include A Common Battle, A Biblical View of Human Nature, Usefulness of Psychology and Psychiatry, Problems We Have with Our Minds, Transformed by the Renewing of Our Mind, Renewing the Mind, The Conflict of Flesh versus Spirit, Winning the Battle, and finally, An Action Plan for Winning the Battle for Your Mind. Now, let me say this. This book is not a mental health guide. That's on the cover, right? Mental health is something altogether different. But we don't separate, you know, the spiritual from the natural. And the Bible does speak to renewing the mind and thoughts and such. So this book is appropriate for you to consider and to use and to share. It's print edition, it's Kindle edition, and audio book, audible audio book with a virtual voice that sounds, not my voice, but an AI voice that really, really sounds good. So either way, you know, get the book, learn from it, because a renewed mind equals what? Amen. God bless you.